A woman in a white robe holds a blazing torch high in her right hand, the logo of Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company.
Have you checked out the temperature lately? There's a fever that's about to break. There is a game to be won.
Circles of silver metal form the horizon ring, meridian ring, and stand of a globe, the logo of Revolution Studios. A comic book called Zoom.
The Zenith Team. Five young superheroes who fought to protect the world from evil.
We got the hand to turn this around.
Pages from the comic book show five superheroes dispatching their enemies with a blam, boom, a whoop, and a yarn.
Led by Captain Zoom and his brother Concussion, the team saved many lives.
The Fearless Five punch the air. In the sky, the letter ZP on a gold disc.
Oh, and with the help of their sidekick, Dr. Grant. The government sought to enhance the team's powers using Gamma 13 radiation.
A scientist starts a stopwatch.
Zoom got faster and stronger. But the Gamma turned Concussion to the dark side.
It's coming back.
He turned on his own team. Zoom lost his powers. And his brother.
I'll be back, says Concussion. Revolution Studios presents a Team Todd, a Boxing Cat Films production. A helicopter painted in panda stripes flies low over barren desert. A film by Peter Hewitt, starring Tim Allen.
We're coming up now. Prepare to deactivate cloaking device.
The helicopter approaches a landing platform, the title Zoom, in the corridor of a scientific research center.
I told you not to call me unless the world was going to end.
Well, I don't know about the world ending, but we've been tracking a pan-dimensional anomaly that seems to be moving toward our time-space continuum.
Dr. Grant, I speak Greek, not geek.
Let me put it this way. Concussion is still alive, and he's coming back.
He was destroyed.
Nope.
We were there. We both saw it.
Dr. Grant nods.
Nope.
Grant and Larrabee stand before monitors.
12 days and counting.
Time has come. I'm reactivating the Zenith program. Find me some kids. Misfits. Outcasts. Weirdos. Give me that file. Zoom's the only one who can train them. Now get to Long Beach, find him, evaluate his condition, and bring him back here.
Dr. Grant nods lamely.
You know he won't cooperate.
You won the Nobel Prize, Doctor. He'll think of something.
Outside Slowjack's car repair shop, sporting the slogan, "You can't rush speed." Inside, a man in his 40s with a mustache and goatee beard comes into a small back kitchen. He peels a banana, pours chocolate over the banana in a glass. He looks around him, he points his right index finger. It starts to vibrate. He lowers it into the glass. He sees a young woman in a green dress standing outside. He comes out of the building. She raises her wrist to her mouth.
Okay, he's looking. Come now.
A black car swerves around the corner.
There's a car coming, lady. Hey, look out!
The car speeds past. The woman falls. The man runs over.
Yeah. Sure you're okay, huh?
The guy almost killed me.
Watch out for the grease.
He helps her up.
Should've told you about those grease spots. Come on, get up.
The hit-and-run car drives up.
Grant?
Hello, Zoom.
It's Jack.
Dr. Grant gets out.
Okay. Jack. It's good to see you.
Wow. You got old.
Well.
Grant pats his jowls.
It's been, what, 30 years?
What are you doing here, Grant?
Well, we're starting up a new team.
Men's slow-pitch softball?
No, a new Zenith team.
You can't be serious.
Oh, we are serious, Mr. Shepard.
Why is the green dress talking?
Oh, I'm a psychologist.
Oh, sorry, this is Miss Holloway. She works with me.
Oh.
Yes, and despite the theatrics, which were not my idea, by the way, you're the only one who can help us. You're the only superhero left.
Somebody's been giving me the wrong information. So if you excuse me, I got work to do.
We're here to take you back, not to invite you back. and we're authorized to use whatever means necessary.
Grant.
But you can't shoot him!
Grant fires a dart. It hits nice. Jack.
Sorry.
Jack passes out. Three rings around the gold disc, the logo of the Zenith program. A little girl knocks on a door.
Trick-or-treat!
Here we go, sweetie.
The woman at the door gives sweets to the girl. The girl dressed in pink is Cindy Collins, age 6. A boy aged about 14 tries to grab her bag of sweets.
Give it here, howdy doo-doo.
Bully!
The boy is propelled into a nearby tree, hanging down by one leg. Cindy shrugs at her mother, who's with a group of other mothers. In a school canteen, a prim cheerleader snatches another girl's tray.
Thank you.
The girl is Summer Jones, age 16. Another cheerleader snatches her tray.
I'll take that. Weird. Freak.
A third cheerleader, wearing the same short red and white dress as the other two, snatches Summer's tray. Summer stares at the serving dishes. They start to bubble. The three cheerleaders look uneasy. They're spattered with bubbling food.
Oh my gosh. What just happened?
How's my hair look?
In a classroom, a male teacher writes on a blackboard. Dylan West, age 17, taps a rhythm on his desk.
Dylan! Perhaps you'd like to come up and finish Newton's equation?
I think Newton can finish his own equation.
Now, Dylan.
Floppy-haired Dylan comes to the front of the class and takes teacher's place at the blackboard. As he writes, he's engulfed in light and virtually disappears. The other students gape as the chalk moves across the board, completing the formula. The chalk lands on the desk below the board. The teacher stands up, looking baffled. The other students watch in amazement as Dylan reappears with a sheepish smile on his face. A chubby boy, Tucker Williams, age 12, stands at the base of a diving board. He glances around and slowly climbs the ladder. There are girls playing in the pool, sunbathing and chatting. One man reads a paper, another man applies sun cream, one man talks to an ice cream vendor. Tucker reaches the top of the board. He edges closer to the end.
Check it out! Lard butt's gonna snap the board in half!
As he leaps into the air, his blue and red Bermudas inflate like two giant balloons, and he surges down towards the pool. A tidal wave soaks the sunbathers, the ice cream vendor, the two men under sunshades. The bathers find themselves sitting on the dry floor of the pool. Tucker squints into the sunlight without the slightest look of guilt on his face. Grant peers at Jack.
Wake up, Zoom. Zoom? Welcome back to Area 52.
Thank you, Grant, for bringing me back to a place I've been avoiding for the last 30 years.
You have two choices, as I understand it. One is to stay here, and the other is to go directly to prison.
How long in prison?
We are also very happy to pay you $500,000.
You know, you could have just said that instead of shooting me with a dart.
Grant blinks rapidly behind his specs.
Yes.
Mr. Shepherd, I can't tell you how happy I am that you've come aboard.
Oh, it's you.
Jack helps Marcia stand up.
Do you have an inner ear problem or something?
Zoom. Jack. Right, Jack. Miss Holloway is our leading researcher in the area of latent superhuman abilities. She'll be in charge of training the new Zenith team. She's also quite a fan of yours.
Boy, I have every issue of Captain Zoom and his amazing team. Most of them still in their original plastic sleeves.
That's creepy. But you still have that green dress.
I even have the 5th anniversary double issue, Zoom versus the Atomic Melt. I have it in Japanese, German, Farsi, Hindi, and Braille.
How about that green dress? Still have that?
Marcia leads the way through a door into a workshop full of white-coated geeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The return of Zoom.
Grant raises his arm. The geeks look at Jack with interest.
Show of hands. Who here does not live with their mom in her basement?
Ah!
We have assembled a group of 10 special candidates. The extent of their abilities is still unknown, like it was when your team arrived.
We wanted your help in choosing the ones with the best potential for a new Xenith team.
Well, for $500,000 in cash and prizes, let's take a look at those contestants, shall we?
Jack beams at Marcia. She simpers back. They look down through a large plate glass window as the contestants file across the floor below.
What are we, forming a spelling bee?
I assure you, they are all quite gifted.
Gifted what? They're a bunch of kids. And what power do they have? I haven't read or heard about a gamma event.
Well, there weren't any. My studies in metahuman psychophysiology have made gamma treatments obsolete. I'm quite confident that we can develop their abilities far beyond what was achieved during the gamma 13 days. And we can do it safely and naturally.
I'm sorry, I must have dozed off there for a minute.
Times have changed soon.
Well, they better be able to do some mind-blowing stuff.
A young black girl with afro hair leans forward and blinks fast. Dr. Grant blinks fast in sympathy.
What is this? She's blinking fast.
She was better in the audition.
I am a little cooler. Every
morning, the girl's file is stamped with the word rejected. Dylan.
Oh, dude.
Vaporizes. Jack stands up excitedly.
Now you see him, now you don't. How you doing?
Dylan reappears with a cool shrug. His application is approved. A Chinese dude blows into a barrow and peppers Zoom's cheek with a barrage of paper dots.
Gosh, the hand sanitizer, please.
He's rejected.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Stop that! You're singing the alphabet. That's not a power. And your voice is average. It's not super.
It is too super.
Cindy hurls the panel's table across the room. It smashes against the wall. Jack looks wide-eyed at Marcia, who smirks.
Get another table in here, please, right away.
Cindy is approved. Summer wills a glass towards her, and with a flick of her hair, sends it crashing onto a bank of consoles.
I see things.
Do you see dead people?
I see that you suffer from a massive inferiority complex.
I try to hide that so well.
Summer is approved.
I'm Jupiter, the gas giant.
Oh, no.
The gas giant is rejected. Tucker stands with his hands in front of his belly.
Is he doing it, or is he just naturally that chubby?
Tucker kicks up his left leg, sending his sock flying, wrapping it around Dr. Grant's specs. Grant removes the sock. Tucker's head swells to 10 times its normal size, and he gives the panel a self-assured smile.
It's so cool!
Tucker is approved. A little black boy blows a giant green bogey out of his right nostril. It bursts all over Dr. Grant's face. He wipes the corners of his mouth. The chosen ones are kitted out in yellow.
Miss Holloway, how would you like to introduce our trainees to their new instructor?
I would love to. You ready?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Okay.
Summer is writing.
That is getting so old.
Well, considering you can read my mind, I don't have many options.
I can't read your mind. I just feel stuff. And you could stop hitting on me entirely.
No, I can't do that. You and I are destiny.
Summer smiles at Dylan.
Children, I would like to formally introduce you to a very great man, Mr. Jack Shepherd.
Sorry, I don't remember eating that.
Great man or washed up loser?
It's a fine line. What a nice kid. Is the long hair and the James Dean angst just a package with you?
Mr. Shepherd is uniquely qualified to be your new instructor. And now he'll tell you why.
Huh? Oh, yeah, kids. Do you have any idea what you're doing here or why?
Me? No.
Cindy's hand shoots up.
Come on. Me.
All right, the little one.
We were brought here in super secret because we were selected out of a huge group of kids because we're really special. And they needed special kids for a special course. That's what Miss Holloway said.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody use that many specials in a sentence.
She actually worked it in there one more time than Collins did. But it's all a lie. We're here because we're different.
Dylan.
We're not different.
Come on, come on.
You can pick up a car. You're six. Okay. How different
children.
Does it
don't get? Tell her that.
Children, don't be a jerk, man.
What, Tucker? I'm not.
Okay, you children. You.
Hey.
Oh.
Marcia takes control. They all wince.
Sorry.
Okay, maybe this will help. I spent a lot of time here at Camp Secret when I was just about your age. And you know what? It pretty much ruined my life.
Mr. Shepard.
Hey, the military would like you to be just like me. You have to work hard and focus. But most of all, most important, you're going to need massive doses of gamma 13 emissions. So let's wheel in that big machine and zap the little guys, huh?
That's not true. Mr. Shepard, hallway.
Right. Let's go to the hallway. You guys want to slip into that lead underwear. You want to protect your privates.
Grant and Larrabee are eavesdropping.
Always the smart aleck.
But he is definitely the target, sir. The center of the dimensional probing is following Zoom here from Long Beach.
We finally found something that Shepard excels at, being the bait. If you can't get those kids combat ready in time, I'll have to dose them with enough gamma 13 to sterilize a trailer park.
And if that should happen, you can rest assured, sir, that I will do everything in my power to make sure it's not my fault.
The two men nod to each other.
I told you, we will not be dosing the children.
Based on what we have in there, I think you might want to dose them just a little. Come on. Drop them by a nuclear facility and leave them there. I drop them off at the dentist and have x-ray 200 or 300 times.
No, I don't think you understand their sensitive condition.
What about my sensitive condition? I'm being asked to betray children for money.
Marcia rolls her eyes.
Are you done?
I left a little pause there in case you want to slip and fall again.
Marcia gasps at Jack's nerve. The Zenith logo flies in and out. Jack looks at Grant.
Grant, what am I doing here? Come on.
Let me show you something.
Grant opens a cupboard.
Wow. I made that suit for you.
A gleaming golden bodysuit.
Too bad you never got a chance to wear it. Welcome back, Zoom. It's Jack. It's Zoom. Wow. What'd you put? Is this it?
Grant leaves the room. Jack catches sight of his face in a mirror and sighs. In the study room.
Oh, cool. Zoom comic.
No, Tucker, wait! Do not touch this. This is a first edition. Don't even touch the sleeve. Now, everyone, please put on your pH-balancing antibacterial gloves.
Cindy and Tucker slip the magazines out of their wrappers.
Or not.
Wait, why are you giving us these?
Well, I'm not giving them to you, but I'm showing them to you because yesterday you asked me why Mr. Shepard was a great man. Well, this is why he's a great man.
Because he collects comic books?
No, because he is the comic book. Mr. Shepard is Captain Zoom. And these comics are a record of the incredible things that Zoom and his amazing team did to protect mankind. He was the leader of the Zenith team, faster than Quicksilver, The Flash, and Superman, all together.
No way.
Way.
Cindy and Tucker run up to Jack in the Zenith canteen.
Captain Zoom!
That's two?
Zoom, do some fast!
Well, guess the cat's out of the bag, huh?
You don't look like a superhero.
I don't? Are you serious?
Jack deliberately dribbles.
You know why? Because I'm not a superhero. There's no such thing as superheroes. No matter what people told you around here, you're not superheroes.
We're superheroes?
Cindy and Tucker high five.
Yes!
You're definitely white kids, I'll tell you that.
Cindy's hand shoots up.
Yeah, what?
Do we get names and costumes?
I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Cindy Collins, age 6.
Cindy Collins, age 6. This isn't a parade or a Girl Scout jamboree or some sleepover. It's a military installation. You get military stuff, functional wear. You see this?
His finger.
I used to be able to move my entire body that fast. So they put me in polycarbonate silicone suit. That way I didn't vibrate out of my clothes.
Cindy.
You've got to stop doing that.
Can my superhero costume be a tutu?
Are you even trying to listen to me?
So what are they going to make us do?
I don't know, dude. Let me think about that for just a minute.
And you're supposed to be training us. Give me a break. You can barely tie your shoes. Come on, let's let Mr. Zoom finish his oatmeal.
It's cream of wheat, dude.
Cindy lifts weights.
It's remarkable. 2.5 tons per arm.
Jack joins Marcia and Grant.
Wow, you shaved.
Wow, you noticed.
Would you believe that little girl is holding 5 tons above her head? Look at that.
What?
Cindy, what are you wearing?
It's my alter ego.
Do you mean your alter ego?
I'm a princess.
Cindy, you're not a princess.
But I look pretty.
Yeah, you know, but
pretty girls don't have any real friends and they never get any respect. I mean, take Miss Holloway, for instance.
Hey.
Cindy's eyes narrow. She lowers one weight and hurls the other one at the window.
Scatter.
Nice toss, Cindy. It really good. Why don't you get a juice box and a Rice Krispie treat?
Cindy curtsies. Later, Jack tosses some M&Ms at Summer. Her mind rearranges them into a spinning face. Dylan, wearing his yellow oval, steps up onto a platform, waves at the row of seated scientists in white coats, and steps in front of one of three neon-lit rectangular panels and disappears.
It's unbelievable. It's as if he's not even there.
Because he's not there.
Oh, he's escaped again.
Security code, Dylan. I repeat, code Dylan. Thank you.
I don't know why he does that.
Because he doesn't like it here, Grant. Don't know why not. It's good food.
Dr. Grant.
A researcher.
Tucker won't come out of the bullpen.
In the bullpen.
It's okay, Tucker. I know you don't have any control over this thing yet, but can you please try to expand?
I am trying, all right?
You're wasting your time.
Jack, you are undermining his confidence.
What confidence? He's a lazy little chubba bubba.
Tucker bites on bread and swells up, pressing Jack against a window.
Hey. Hey, Marsha.
Exactly what part of him is this?
Help.
Later.
Hey there. Those kids aren't going to be ready for anything. Unless, of course, you put Tucker in a vat of paint. He swells up, he could do a room in a couple of seconds. Other than that...
Well, maybe if you train them at all.
Look, you know, it just might help if I knew what I was training them for.
I'm sorry, I don't have time right now. I'm late for a meeting.
Look out!
Marsha tumbles over a desk.
Oh, man. Hey, are you all right?
Yes.
Well, some fall. You know, you're a nice woman. But this whole program is a mistake. The last thing the world needs is a bunch of kids running around in costumes thinking that they're heroes.
As she picks up her files, he puts them back on the floor.
Sorry.
She looks him squarely in the face.
What happened to you? What happened to the sacred oath? Issue number one. Faster than fast. Truer than true. In the pursuit of justice,
there is no speed limit. Yeah. Are you bipolar? It's a comic book. It's government propaganda. They made it up.
I'm sorry.
To cover
up. La 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 la.
It wasn't true. It's not. None of that stuff is true.
Marsha's lips quiver and tears spring up in her eyes.
Looks true to me.
She grabs her files and goes, leaving Jack open-mouthed.
The brain scans do not correlate with the children's test results. They are subconsciously suppressing their full abilities.
We face an imminent threat. These kids have got to be ready now.
Sir, it might help if I knew what the imminent threat was.
Hey! Sorry I'm late. I didn't get the memo. You know? Hey, but I heard the word imminent threat. What exactly...
Hold it, Shepard. We're holding a meeting for people who matter. And Miss Holloway.
Well, think maybe a big bowl of prunes might turn that frown upside down, General.
Guards, take him where the losers are plotting another failure. He knows the way.
Go to see your family, huh?
Get him out of here now!
Jack, grinning, is escorted out.
5 days and counting.
The Zenith program logo flies in and out. Jack in gray overalls pitches to Summer, who's batting. She hits the ball, Jack fumbles a catch. Next is Dylan, he whacks the ball, Jack fumbles again. Tucker thwacks the ball right past Jack. He pitches again, and Summer and Dylan both miss hit. Jack is triumphant. Cindy, in a Tahitian costume, picks up a giant spanner and prepares to bat. Jack urges everyone to give her space. He bowls to her gently. She slams it up to the glass ceiling. Everyone scarpers. Later, Marsha comes down a corridor. Jack steps out.
Holloway, do you mind telling me what was going on between you and Larrabee?
Jack, it's late.
I can't help those kids unless I know what's going on.
Marsha forlornly grips the Zenith files.
You know, when they started talking about bringing you in?
Yeah?
I was ecstatic. Finally, I would meet the only real superhero left in the world.
Would you let that superhero stuff go, please?
A hero who would fight for justice at all costs. I was really lonely. Kind of weird child.
Well, at least you know you've grown out of that.
And the only comfort I found was in reading about you.
That's because you're out of your mind. You gotta stop with this comic book stuff.
You know, the first thing you said to me was is that you're not a real superhero.
Right.
Well, I didn't believe you then. But congratulations, because you have convinced me. You are nothing but a bitter man happily getting paid to take your resentments out on these children. It's horrible.
Jack is left outside her door, smiling awkwardly.
All right, then. We'll do this again.
Later, he's with Grant and the team in a corridor.
Hey, that was a good meeting last night, Grant.
Yeah, it was cool. It was just a simple staff meeting.
Yeah, that's what I thought, simple staff meeting, based on the way I was shuffled out of there.
So where are we going?
Oh, we got combat training tomorrow. We got to get you into some protective gear.
Cindy, wearing a pretty pink ballerina costume, runs after them and clasps Jack's hand.
Don't want to hold your hand, thanks.
Don't want to hold your hand.
She squeezes his hand.
Ow, let go of my hand. It's quite painful. All right, I'll hold your hand. Careful. What did I tell you about costumes?
It's not a costume. It's my protective gear.
Yeah? How's a ballerina costume going to protect you?
Are you crazy? Who wants to hold a ballerina?
Other ballerinas? Baryshnikov?
In a lab, a technician fires into a series of interconnected glass tubes.
Wait a minute. No way. Is that you, Mr. Pibb?
Jack talks to a robot.
You recognize me?
How you doing, buddy?
Give me five.
Mr. Pibb.
Yeah, that's the name we gave him. We didn't have any friends down here, so they built us one. You'd go get you candy and sodas, that sort of thing.
You were nice to him.
Do you have to touch things to, like, understand them?
Not always.
What's he thinking about now?
He thinks you've had an increase in mass.
Mr. Pibb.
It's impossible to know what he thinks, Miss Jones. His program is a rudimentary 15-megabyte system. He has no thoughts.
I suppose you don't have thoughts of what your life would be like if you were a figure skater.
Dr. Grant looks dryly at Summer. He winks.
Well then, I guess I'll leave you kids in the capable hands of Jack Shepard.
You do that, Grant. I'll take care of him. Mr. Pibb, is that old Rambler still down in the hangar?
Got the keys?
All right, come on, guys. Watch your heads. Come on, this way. Get over here. Get over, go over there. All right, Pibb, knock off the security cameras. Open the door. Let's go, 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 go.
Huge doors slide open.
All right, stand right there. Ready?
Jack presses switches and darkness turns light.
Whoa.
A flying saucer hovers above the ground in front of them. Cindy and Summer gape.
It's the flying saucer from Area 51. It exists.
Look at that.
Wow.
We rebuilt it as best we could after a crash land in the late 40s.
It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And is this what's going to take us to all of our superhero gigs? I'm getting goosebumps.
Summer smiles cheesily at Dylan and Jack. They're in the spacecraft, rocking unsteadily above the ground like a wayward hubcap.
Gotta stabilize this thing.
Can I try?
You want to drive?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, just sit down there.
Tucker takes the captain's chair.
And you want to get your hands in that green and blue slime.
Right.
A little gross in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Make this thing rock.
Yeah, how do you make it go faster?
Faster? Therein lies the problem, guys, of the FE-12. We never really figured this thing out. It only goes 20 miles an hour.
Later, Summer is standing with her hands on one of the controls.
Maybe there's less to figure out than there is to understand.
The others give her a doubtful glance. They hover over some grazing cattle.
Hey, barbecue, to go.
A cow is lifted off the ground.
Tucker, put the cow back.
I'm hungry.
Tucker.
All right.
The cow is dumped down. The craft zooms towards a Wendy diner and lurches towards a lamppost.
Hey, watch the
light bulb.
It bumps down to the ground.
Welcome to Wendy's. May I take your order, please?
Classic triple lettuce, tomato, and cheese.
Classic triple lettuce, tomato. I got it.
Classic.
No mayo. No mayo.
Hold on a second.
Chicken nuggets.
What kind of toys do you have?
Crazy chicken sandwich.
Wait.
Ow.
Is that it?
Six Frosties.
Ooh, six Frosties. Yeah. Chocolate.
All right, now what's everyone else drinking?
All eyes on Tucker. The lurching spacecraft hits the ground. It spins up again and maneuvers itself alongside the Wendy Diner delivery window. The owl-faced vendor gapes at them. Mr. Pib extends his robotic arms and grabs hold of their order.
We come in peace.
As they leave, the vendor smiles.
Take me with you.
That's right, Bob. We're outside the Wendy's where apparently a lot of people have seen some type of flying saucer.
Marsha finds some guards around a monitor.
David, can you tell us what you saw?
I saw the flying saucer. I saw it land. I saw it make this noise that it made. It was... as it wobbled, it made... Oh, that's it. That's it. That's the way they sounded. Yeah, that's the way it was.
And you actually saw the aliens? I mean...
Well, it's not that the alien in the spaceship ordered from me. I don't know. I mean, maybe the spaceship runs on ice cream. That's my theory. Because he ordered a whole bunch of Frosties.
Well, then you actually saw them. Yes, I did. I can tell us what they look like.
A glass-walled capsule descends into the loading bay. Marsha storms in.
Just go back and act like nothing happened. You had a great day. Let's just leave it at that, all right, you guys? If I were you, Dylan, I'd disappear.
Hey, Marsha.
Mr. Shepard, how dare you? Do you even know what you've done?
Yeah. I got you a hot chicken sandwich.
No, thank you.
Are you a vegetarian?
You're supposed to be training these kids for their first simulation. And instead, you're out gallivanting in a stolen spaceship.
Was I gallivanting? Looks like the sauce was not the only thing stuck in the 50s.
You're probably 50.
Jack, gritting his teeth, presses the remote and the capsule rises back up into the spacecraft. Mr. Pib follows Jack.
I'm not a vegetarian. It's a life choice. Nothing wrong with it.
A full moon gleams in the night sky. Jack is asleep on his back. Cindy, in a fluffy pink rabbit suit, pokes his cheek with her finger. She pokes at his nose. She pinches his cheek roughly.
Cindy, let go of my face, please. Ow.
What are you doing in here?
I had a bad dream.
Jack turns on his bedside lamp.
I'm sorry you had a bad dream. That's easy to do here, I guess. You...
Cindy stands before him with a resolute expression.
Let's walk you back to your room.
Can I sleep here? Just for tonight?
No, that's not a real good idea. You don't want to stay here. I snore. I'm quite gassy.
I'm scared.
Hello? A little help here?
Cindy looks at him imploringly.
You want to stay on the couch?
Thanks, Mr. Sim.
Cindy scuttles across to the couch.
Can you let the light in?
Yeah. Leave the door open. Because why would we want it dark while we're sleeping?
Cindy and her teddy snuggle down.
Good night, Cindy.
Jack flops down on his single bed.
Mr. Zoom?
Cindy, please.
Am I different?
Yeah. You know, but in a good way.
I feel too different.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, because you're wearing a rabbit outfit. You got to go to sleep, Cindy.
Is that why Mommy and Daddy sent me here?
Jack ponders the question, then rolls over and turns the light on.
Listen, you were right the first day. You're special. There's nobody in the world that can do what you do. Your parents, who love you very much, they sent you here so you learn how to use your difference to help people.
Cindy smiles happily at Jack.
Night.
Jack lies with his eyes open. Across the room, Cindy sits up and, holding her teddy under one arm, pulls the couch out from the wall and drags it over to Jack's bed. Calmly, she lies down on the couch and pulls the blanket over herself, resting her head on her teddy.
Night.
That was bolted to the wall.
Next day, heavy doors slide open and the team in golden yellow spacesuits file in.
Welcome to our fully operational multi-platform J-1000 mission simulator. It is imperative that you learn to avoid enemy fire.
Bit more advanced than in your day, eh?
In my day, we just had that British guy named Ben who threw sticks at us.
So what are the holes for?
It's funny you should ask that. That's the first question people ask. Our technician is Dick. Dick?
Dick is covered in brown spots.
Oh, the holes are for firing the paintballs.
Dylan.
All right, I'm out of here.
Oh, great. Another code Dylan. He must like that isolation room.
We'll have to proceed without Mr. West.
The objective is to get the kids to 70% combat capacity. Start them off easily, about 10%. What do you think, 10%?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Dick, 10.
Dick turns a dial. The floor starts to move in a circle.
Children, your goal is to stop the simulator by pressing that red button in the center.
How hard can that be?
I don't know.
Tucker presses the button and paintballs fire at them from the holes in the walls of the chamber. Next door, Dylan, Summer, and Cindy are on running machines.
Are you working on attraction or repulsion?
Watch.
Summer places a chair on a floor panel, then runs over to Jack's side. She squares her feet and looks intently at the chair, which starts to shake. It flies straight for Summer, knocking her over.
That would be attraction.
Grant touches Tucker's finger.
Ow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Cindy narrows her eyes.
Meanie.
She sends Grant and his chair flying. Landing in a storeroom full of dummies. Tucker and Cindy leg it. Dylan holds a giant apple. It partly vanishes. Tucker swells out his chest and huge eyeballs pop out. He retracts them. In the paintball chamber, the team scrabble to avoid the barrage of balls being launched at them. In the weights corner, Cindy, dressed like a pink fairy with wings, tosses a weight like a ball down a bowling alley.
I want a name.
10 more, that's your name.
Guards try to stop Dylan disappearing. They grab him. A ton weight lands on a grid.
Get me a name.
Hey, how about 9 more? There's your name.
Cindy scowls and marches over to a forklift truck. She hurls it across the road. Marsha gives a PowerPoint presentation. Tucker tucks in as he listens. As she scrolls down, she gets her coat sleeve caught in the projector. She and it fall to the floor. Cindy and Tucker run into Dr. Grant, who's holding a model. Tucker sends him flying.
Why the rush, kids?
More multicolored paintballs find their targets. Marsha covers her eyes. The team leave the battlefield rubbing their wounds. Zenith staff help Grant put back his structure.
It all works together in a double helix. So if you can manage to... I've got a thing. If you could get a double helix going, I'll be right back.
A helix?
Okay, it's a double helix.
Double helix.
The team come into a living room.
That was ridiculous.
That was really bad.
I thought it was fun.
Cindy bounces on one of the box-like settees.
Hey, guys. I shook down our robot buddy, Mr. Piven. I got you some snacks.
I got mine already. Thanks.
Tucker bites into a biscuit.
You guys look like modern art.
Summer looks witheringly at Jack.
Come on. How'd you guys think the training went?
Oh, please. Like you care.
Hey, chill out a little bit. I'm not the one that dropped you off here at the military base, you know.
No, you didn't drop us off here, but you're supposed to teach us. Thanks for all the training, Captain. You don't care about us.
She's right. I got hit with so many paintballs, I've got more bruises and skin.
Mr. Shepard?
What?
You care about us, right?
I brought cake.
Don't be fooled, Cindy. He only cares about himself. Come here. Let's go get you cleaned up.
Wait, look.
Summer shoots Jack another withering look as she leads Cindy out. Jack smiles lamely.
Cake.
Later, he wanders to a guard outside two heavy doors.
Still smells like old socks in here. Is he in there?
One of the doors slides open. Dylan is sitting cross-legged inside.
Sucks being in here, doesn't it? You know, Larrabee actually knitted this. He and Grant, buck naked by a fire, knit one, purl two. They knitted this to contain people like us. I got out of here three times. And I'll bet Cindy could get out of here whenever she wanted to. When I was her age, I used to just have one leg work faster than the other. I did this kind of fast hopping thing.
So you could skip?
Hop. Let's go with hop. One day, a bunch of my buddies want to go down to the creek, you know, to throw fish at each other, paint our face, guy stuff, you know. I wanted to go there so bad that I concentrated and I just began to do my little...
skipping thing.
Hopping. And all of a sudden, man, I was there. Boy, they noticed that. And then other people noticed. People like the Zenith program, they noticed. So they dragged me and my older brother.
I didn't know you had a brother.
They dragged me here. And Grant,
I think he's had enough. Let him out. Come on, Dylan.
Grant picks up his phone.
This is Mr. Grant. You can release Dr. West. I'm sorry. This is Dr. West. Could you release Mr. Grant?
Okay, you want us to release...
No, don't release Dr. Grant. Release Mr. West.
But you want us... You just said that we...
Just
want...
do what I say.
Yes, sir.
General Larrabee stares at the concussion countdown monitor.
2 days and counting.
Cindy, Summer, and Tucker peer around a corner.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the ice cream's this way.
They tiptoe towards a pair of glass doors.
Outdoor survival simulator?
Cindy, looking nearer 10 than 6, looks up at Summer, who smiles at Tucker. Summer closes her eyes and concentrates. The glass doors in front of them open.
Sweet. This room is so cool.
Through a glass partition, they see Dr. Grant in an artificial garden.
What's Dr. Grant doing in there?
Look.
Summer spots a heavy door.
Close the door.
Summer concentrates. The door starts to close.
Kids! Oh, very good. That's great. It's closing up.
Keep it open.
It's going. No, it's going. No, no. It closed.
Good job. Shouldn't you be in bed? Seriously. Are you waiting for Peter Pan?
I'm just kidding around. Tucker?
Could you back off the control panel a little bit? There are buttons on there.
I really don't want you to push.
Because...
Tucker pushes a button showing rain. Grant is soaked to the skin.
I told you not to... Why don't you listen to me? Summer, I want you to open that door. I want the rain to stop right away.
Please.
You're making me very angry, children.
This is not funny.
Lightning.
This is not
funny. Dr. Grant looks grim.
There's the wall. No button. You're not push button. Nah. Also, I told you, no button.
Summer presses snow. Grant is dumped on.
They really ridicule John Doodle and Lane Porosity rule.
No more buttons.
Tucker pushes the cyclone button. Grant hangs onto his hat. Summer presses falling rocks. The rocks bring Grant to his knees. The children find a skunk button. They smile at each other. Grant, his face black, looks at them.
Do it, Cindy.
Cindy raises a flap covering the skunk button. Cindy and Grant face each other off. Grinning, Cindy presses the button. A stuffed skunk on a tray pops up, its beady eyes staring at Grant. The skunk rotates and Grant peers haplessly into its rear. It raises its tail and fires a cloud of green gas. The doctor collapses. Marcia speaks into a dictaphone.
It is the emotional core that is missing in these children's lives.
That magnetizes so you can't move. Put your head against these little diodes and they give you 13 times the lethal dose of gamma radiation.
And that made you more powerful?
Dylan, they're not going to put you in here. That's why I'm here. To encourage your talents naturally. Dylan, I'm talking to you. Where do you go when you fuzz out like that?
You don't perchance get a little headache over your eye when you do that, do you?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Dylan.
I got an idea. I want you to think about Summer right now. Stand here and see if you can find her.
But she's nowhere near.
I understand that.
Trust your instincts. Go down this hallway in your mind and find her.
Dylan stands very still and concentrates. In flashing yellow light, he can make out a corridor with two men in white coats talking. In his mind's eye, he surges forward down more corridors until he reaches Summer's room.
I'm in her room. No, I can see her dancing.
This is unbelievable. This is a real gift. It's called mind sight. Look, these kids are gonna need a leader. This team needs one. And a leader is someone who can see the way. I think that may be you.
Dylan's eyes shine.
And which one of the old team had the mind sight thing like me?
Oh, marksman.
And what happened to him and your girlfriend, Ace?
Well, they all lost their lives doing what they do, being heroes.
Like in the comic book?
Yeah.
So this killer concussion, I thought that was all made up.
Some of it was made up.
This maniac wiped out the whole team?
It really wasn't his fault. I mean, they made him into that.
He was part of the team?
Yeah.
And you trusted him. He was your friend and he
wiped. You don't know what you're talking about, okay?
Concussion was your brother.
His name was Connor.
In her office, Marsha Holloway is listening to this conversation. The lights are off in the vast Zenith hangar, and Jack sits by himself, remembering.
I can't stand to fly. I'm not that naive. I'm just out to find the better part of me.
Among the images crossing his mind are photos of himself and dark-haired, handsome Connor.
I'm more than a bird, I'm more than a plane, I'm more than some pretty face beside a train, and it's not easy to be me.
The thought of his new team of superheroes brings a warm smile to his face. Marsha glances glumly at the clock on the classroom wall that reads 20 past 12. Dylan is sitting gazing at Summer.
Summer, what's with the necklace?
Oh, it was the last thing my parents gave me before they left. I guess they couldn't handle my powers.
Can I?
He kneels in front of her and holds the thin silver chain in his fingers. Summer's eyes look searchingly into his handsome face. A guard comes up.
I'm sorry, Ms. Holloway. We couldn't find him anywhere.
Okay, thank you.
Dylan sits back at his desk.
All right. Well, we'll just have to proceed without Mr. Shepherd today. If everyone will open up their books.
Hey, sorry I'm late, but I had to get my gang together. Let's make the measurements, guys. Don't be afraid to tickle them.
Jack comes in with Mr. Pibb. He peers at Marsha.
Almost looks like you're glad to see me.
Oh, no, I'm not glad to see you. I mean, the children are glad to see you. And, well, I guess if they're glad to see you, then I'm glad to see you. I don't know. Okay, I'm glad. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, kids, this is what we're going to do. We're going to continue your physical training along with your teamwork exercises, but to complement your internal strengths. Yeah.
What do you think it means?
We'll deal with that, but right now, most importantly, I want to deal with the fundamentals. And there's two fundamentals, control and execution. Think about it, control and execution. Come on, guys, follow me.
The team fall in behind Jack. Marsha beams. At the door, Jack raises his eyebrows in her direction.
One, two, three.
The team practice karate. Dylan makes his apple come and go. Dr. Grant takes readings. Dr. Grant tests a fabric that stretches and stretches.
You're all right! He's invented a super fabric for Tucker! Congratulations, Ed.
Dylan, Tucker, and Summer karate chop a plank of wood. Cindy chops a steel girder.
Yeah!
She simpers at Jack.
Coolest, strongest, best.
In the weights area, Jack tells Summer what she needs to do. Pink Fairy Cindy tosses a one-ton weight into the center of the target.
Nailed it.
The team duck and dive, avoiding the paintballs. Dylan lands on top of Summer, a slow smile spreading across his face as he looks at her.
Thanks.
In the canteen, the team are throwing food at each other. Dylan makes the chocolate-covered apple vanish. In the paintball room, there are no more paintballs left. Marsha flings her arms around Jack. The team laughing leave the simulation room. Marsha joins Jack in the canteen.
Well, how are they?
They're enjoying their victory. It's been quite a week for them.
Yeah.
Why the sudden change of heart?
They're becoming a real team, those kids. And I didn't realize what an incredible team I had until they were gone. And I'd like them to avoid that same mistake. Nuts?
No, it's beautiful.
No, I mean, do you like nuts?
Oh, yes, please.
There you go. I think if we'd had someone who cared about us and taught us to succeed as a family, things would have been different for Connor and certainly for the rest of the team. Somebody like you.
Marsha drops her yogurt.
I ain't cleaning that up.
The helicopter in a war zone.
Our only hope lies with Marsha and Zoom training the kids. You can't be considering gamma radiation after what happened to Zoom's brother. Concussion becoming evil was a horrible result.
Grant and Larrabee disembark.
He's coming for Zoom sooner than I thought. And this is where he'll emerge. These will allow you to see the dimensional rift we've been tracking.
Larrabee sees a ball of light.
He's more powerful than I thought. You better have a plan that works this time, Bird Brain.
Well, the kids will have to distract him so that we can launch the sonic net I've designed. The net will capture him in such a way that it causes him to concuss back on himself.
Is that our only option?
Well, if Zoom's still at his powers, his speed could create a mega vortex, which would trap concussion and reverse the dark effects of the gamma radiation.
How much time have we got?
Oh, 48 hours, tops.
In her room, Marsha, wearing her bathrobe, considers the clothes in her wardrobe. Summer peeps around the door.
Anybody home?
Hi.
Hey.
Nothing to wear?
How'd you guess?
Come here, maybe I have something for you.
Summer joins Marsha by the open wardrobe.
Here it is. I knew it was in here somewhere.
Wow.
Pretty.
Summer holds a black and white mini dress up in front of her.
That's perfect. Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. It's just one of many purchased for dates that never happened. Turned out to be lonely nights reading my comic books. In between the crying fits. I'll start it with my prom.
I always thought the prom queen should be the girl with the highest IQ.
Now that would make sense.
A banner with the words "Course Complete" hangs in the control room with disco lights circling the chamber. Mr. Pitt dances with Princess Cindy, who's laying down moves in the center of the floor. Marsha, in a fitted white blouse and black skirt, her dark brown hair loose, a shy smile on her face, crosses to Jack.
Hey.
Finally, a woman without a lab coat. We got a party now. You know, I like having you here, don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure Cindy can handle the competition.
This was really nice of you.
Well, they worked hard. They deserve this. Would you dance
if I asked you to dance? Cindy is doing a slow dance with Mr. Pibb. Summer, wearing the short black strappy dress, comes into the chamber and looks around nervously. Dylan spots her and heads straight for her. Marsha sees her and prods Jack.
Look at Summer.
They wander over to her.
Hi.
Hey.
So, where are you going dressed like that?
Why? Do I look stupid?
No, you look nice. Hi.
Hey.
Summer steps up to Dylan.
You like it?
Yeah, you look beautiful.
I thought your necklace looked a little bare, so I made this for you in R&D.
A small round pendant. Summer beams at it. Dylan steps forward to put it onto her neck chain.
For everything I see in you, and everything I don't, I think your powers are wonderful.
I'm not that wonderful. I mean, I just hope you're not disappointed with what you do or don't see from here.
As long as I get to keep looking, I guarantee I'll never be disappointed.
They move to the dance floor.
I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain. Oh, yeah. You can take my breath away.
Jack, next to Marsha, puffs out his cheeks and looks about him awkwardly.
Do you want to dance?
Yes.
Do you mind if we take these off? Because you are so blind. Whoa.
No, it's okay.
She folds her specs away.
You just have to move a little closer.
Oh.
Still can't see you.
I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the
what the hell is going on? Promise off limits!
Hey, come on, your highness, calm down. You're gonna have a stroke. Look, have a drink. The kids are just having fun.
I guess I'm gonna have a little fun. I like to have fun. Kids, let's take a 10-mile run. Guards, Holloway, make sure it happens now. Move out!
Boy, for a straight guy, you're dramatic.
Jack spots a Gamma 13 container.
What's all this stuff? What are you doing?
Something I should have done long ago.
Jack looks shrewdly at Larrabee.
You're gonna hurt these kids like you hurt my team.
To meet my standards, whatever it takes. We'll be starting first thing in the morning.
Larrabee eyeballs Jack. Jack breaks the look with a resigned sigh and walks away from the uniformed general.
Let's get cracking!
Lights come on in the team dormitory. Jack hurries in.
Hey guys, everybody, get up. Come on, get up.
Each bed is in its own cubicle.
Come on, gorgeous, hop up. Sleeping's for wimps. Get up. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There you go. Everybody, come on, get up. Hurry before the guards see us. Good, good, good. Think you guys are getting tired of sleeping. Come on, Tucker. Come on, buddy, get up. Roll that big potato out of bed. Get your light. There you go. Come on, get up, get up. Woo, 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 woo. Get up. What's the matter with you? What time did you go to bed last night? How tired are you guys? All right, somebody brush his teeth, get him in his outfit. Let's go, come on. I said, let's go.
Cindy sleepily bumps into her cubicle door. A guard patrols the area. Jack, holding a torch, creeps behind some stone steps. The others follow.
Shh.
Dylan and Summer are in their yellow overalls. Cindy looks like a poodle.
All right, all right. What are you dressed as? Super poodle? What is that?
Where are we going?
Shh.
Oh, neat. An electrical panel.
Jack shines his torch on some cables.
It's a secret electrical panel!
Quiet!
Huge yellow-bellied Tucker grins.
Shh.
I'm tired. Let's go back to bed.
I'm hungry.
I'm cold.
Stop whining. Superheroes don't whine.
Where are we?
We are someplace where the cameras won't see us.
Words are projected on a wall above.
Whoa, what is this?
Are we getting our names?
Finally, we get names.
Wait, I thought you said names don't matter.
All right, I was mistaken. You want names? You gotta have names. Chubby will
Chubby.
Now be called the Incredible Bulk.
Oh, dude.
That's stupid.
And you, the bully, let's call you Strong Girl.
How is something pretty?
That is pretty.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is pretty. And for you, let's go with Mental Chick. And,
I like that.
That is not funny.
Yes,
yeah, I think that's good, because you're...
I like it. No, that's terrible. You're not calling it.
Yeah, Mental Chick and Invisiteen.
Whoa, no, that is terrible. Come on, you're Mega Boy.
Mega Boy?
Hey, what do you call me?
Houdini.
Houdini?
That's good.
You know, he's always escaping. So
Princess.
Princess.
And she's Wonder.
Aw, thanks.
All right, I give up. You guys want to name yourselves? You named yourselves.
Houdini.
Princess.
Wonder. Mega Boy.
Now we're a team.
Now we're a family.
Jack places his right hand on the kids' right hands.
and this family is getting out of here. I'm taking you someplace safe tonight.
But we're heroes now.
And we have names and everything.
I know you do. You have names, you're heroes, but I think it'd be safer if we just got out of here. Take the FE-12, can use that.
Dylan slumps.
What's the matter, Dylan?
I'm in a hallway.
Stay out of the ladies' room.
Okay, now I'm in a control room.
What do you see?
I see Dr. Grant and Larrabee.
Tell me they're wearing women's dresses.
There's frozen images on a screen. I know what they're training us for.
What?
Your brother. He's alive. He's coming back.
Jack's eyes flicker uneasily.
It's impossible. Stay out of sight.
Larrabee is watching a monitor.
General Larrabee, it is only a matter of moments before concussion will be here. At 8:59 p.m., the portal broke through the final dimension.
Wow. Just when I was beginning to like you. It's all for the kids, helping them cope, bring out what's best in them.
What are you talking about?
Stop the innocent routine, okay?
What? Jack!
That's when we deploy the sonic net. What the hell's going on?
Grant spills his coffee.
Right now, my stomach flesh is burning.
Jack, can you talk to me?
Not now, Holloway. Guards, get her out of here.
My brother is alive? Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, well, you know, is that a flock of birds or my car alarm? Hold on.
We didn't tell you about Connor because you didn't need to know. They're going to be heroes, Jack, and heroes always do the right thing.
You're going to send these kids up against concussion. They'll never have a chance.
Not the way you trained them. Guards, take this bozo away.
1 hour and counting.
I'm way too big for this. You can't... Guys.
Jack is pushed into the chamber.
You know, they're just a bunch of kids. You can't do this!
Jack, seen on a security monitor, paces the white lattice chamber. The lid of the Gamma 13 tank is opened, and technicians pull a metal canister out of the sub-zero temperature tank. They slot it onto a steel hoist that slowly rises up into the underbelly of the Zenith spacecraft. Dylan concentrates. He blinks rapidly and heaves a big sigh.
What'd you say?
They're prepping the Gamma 13.
Dylan leaves the other three to ponder his words. Cindy looks trustingly into Summer's face.
Miss Holloway will stop them, won't she?
I don't know, Cindy. I don't know.
Guards stride into the dormitory, accompanying Marsha Holloway.
Well, I'm afraid it's time.
The girls look at each other with foreboding.
I'm so sorry about this, truly.
It's okay, we're used to being used.
I know there's nothing I can do to make this up to you. Except possibly.
Marsha turns and blows. The guards fly backwards. Dylan materializes next to them.
Tucker!
Tucker inflates his arms, squashing the last two guards against the walls.
That was awesome.
Come on, let's go!
A guard outside the isolation pod looks up to see Summer standing in front of him. The tall guard comes towards her.
Can I help you, Miss Jones?
She spreads her fingers and he rises off the floor.
Put me down, Miss Jones!
The others catch up and Dylan looks up with a grin.
Man, that is so hot.
You think so?
Whoa! Hey, not bad. Nice work.
Thanks.
I'll still wait.
Dylan logs on to the guard's computer.
I'll take this one.
I think he's...
Where is he?
I think he's over here.
No. He's right here.
Dylan calls through a doorway.
Hey, somebody call for a rescue party with extra cheese?
Hey, it's about time. Open the door.
You want to do the honors?
Cindy prepares to punch. The door flattens Jack.
It may be something like, stand back, we're gonna break the door down, could have been tossed out.
The team run in and help him up.
You know, there's a little green button to the left that says open.
Mr. Pibb giggles and Cindy hugs Jack.
Yeah.
Wait, why is she here?
No, it's cool, she's one of us.
What do you mean she's one of us?
She blows.
Yeah.
No, I mean she blows. Come on, show 'em.
Marsha blows a stream of red sparkly air at Jack.
Whoa. Huh. So you've got powers?
Remember, I was kind of a weird child. That's why I came here.
Just say something. This is like great news. You're like part of the family.
Dudes, escape, remember?
Right. Let's go.
Larrabee comes up.
I want this done as fast and efficiently as possible. Highest level.
Yes, sir.
What's that? What's happening?
Dylan, open it up.
The team enter the loading bay. Jack brings the crew lift down. He runs over to another console and presses more buttons.
What are you doing?
I'm saving the day, that's what I do.
Dylan stays as the others are lifted into the ship.
Summer, get us out of here.
Summer kneels down by a console on the floor that looks like a futuristic train set.
This is all wrong.
The gigantic hangar doors slide open.
This goes there, and...
Summer reconfigures the elements in the console.
Hey, Dylan, get inside! Get inside!
Dylan joins Mr. Pibb in the crew lift, and it rises up into the ship.
Shut the hangar doors! Shut the hangar doors!
The enormous doors start to close. Jack looks up in alarm.
Oh, boy.
Summer!
The ship starts to spin and rises off the floor.
We're hot to go.
Yes!
What about Jack?
Jack sprints across to the glass lift and grabs the base with both arms. The spaceship turns on its side like a frisbee and shoots out of the closing hangar doors, hurtling out of the rocky outcrop.
10 minutes.
The spaceship surges through the air above the flat desert plain. It spirals towards a star-shaped landing space, the site shown on the Zenith monitor.
You gotta drop me off here and take the kids someplace safe.
We're not leaving you.
Well, then wait here. At least do that. Wait for me. Let me talk to my brother. This is between him and me.
But we're family.
Believe me, I know what I'm doing.
Jack is lowered from the craft.
I know what I'm doing.
He emerges from some rocks. He peers into a vortex of fiery light.
What am I doing?
Mr. Pibb, Jack's out there all alone. He needs our help. Will you distract Concussion? Please?
Summer rubs the pendant Dylan gave her between her fingers and looks intently at the robot. Jack appears to be conversing with the red ball of fire. The ball whirls around wildly and something drops out of it. A dark-haired young man with red eyes.
Connor.
He gets to his feet and gapes at Jack.
My God, it is you. Connor, it's me, Jack. It's Jack. Nobody wants to fight you. I just want to talk.
Connor steps back warily, then a scornful smile flickers across his lips.
Wow. You got old, little brother.
Yeah. I guess I didn't have the advantage of living large in some dimensional rift where I don't
live
age.
Living large? Try alone. Conscious only of being betrayed by you
betrayed?
Out there in that living hell.
You took out the whole team.
You shouldn't have tried to stop me, Jackie.
Jackie? What'd Mom tell you about calling me Jackie?
Connor's right fist lashes out, sending Jack hurtling backwards.
That smarts. Oh, yeah. Well, you certainly haven't lost your touch, brother.
Have you lost your powers, Jack?
Well...
Connor lashes out with his foot and Jack somersaults backwards. Connor strides up to his much older-looking brother, who lies on his front and holds up his hand defensively.
You've got to stop doing that.
You have lost your powers, Jack.
Right. Hey, are those new boots? You know, when you say lost my powers, I think if I really looked, I could find them.
Connor punches the air, hurling Jack backwards. Larrabee is watching.
This is even better than I expected.
Grant blows his nose. Larrabee enters a campaign tent.
Load up the sonic net and prepare to fire.
Soldiers remove netting from a weapon.
This is it, Jack. I've waited 30 years for this.
Pib looms up over the rocks.
Pib? Pib? Wow! They must have really dragged you out of the mothballs, huh?
Larrabee positions the weapon.
Steady.
It aims at Jack.
Well, hope you got an army behind you.
The superheroes run up in white bodysuits with Marsha by their side. Jack looks anxious.
Or a tiny girl in pigtails. What is this, attack of the preschoolers?
Kids, they don't know what they're doing. Connor, this is between you and me.
So this is the new team,
Cindy,
huh?
Go back.
You just run up to the big bad guy all willy-nilly now? Is that how it goes?
Fire!
The weapon launches an object that bursts open like spinning umbrella spokes. It spins towards Cindy.
Cindy, run!
No, no!
Zoom!
Jack's body vibrates like an electric drill. With superhuman speed, he whisks Cindy out of the way.
Cindy, are you okay? Cindy, you're safe now. You're okay, it's me, it's Jack. Please, Cindy, don't do this to me. You're all right. Come on, Princess.
The little girl's eyes flicker open.
Princess, that's me.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Shepard, he moves so fast.
Jack slowly realizes what just happened.
Yes, I did.
Larrabee's men line up on a ridge.
I knew it. I knew you hadn't lost your powers.
I guess I just needed a reason to use them.
Jack, I'm sorry. You were right, man. We weren't ready.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. You read the comic books? Superhero secret. First plan never works.
Is that it? Is that all you got?
Not by a long shot, sonny boy.
Connor blasts a funnel of energy.
Stand back. No. Everybody get back. Get back.
Another funnel.
Load up the second net and prepare to fire.
That's a fantastic idea, sir. I wish we had a second net.
Are you fumbling, bumbling, bozo?
Grant gets caught up in a cable. More spirals of force fell Larrabee's men.
Okay, all right. You guys, wait right here. I'll be back in a second, give or take.
Jack whizzes off. He speeds like a supercharged ostrich across the parched desert floor, but not without a few stumbles and unplanned somersaults. He stands up and shakes the dust from his head and his clothes.
All right. Just like riding a bike.
He zigzags across the rocky terrain, back through the research center to the cupboard in Grant's office. Connor shouts up to Grant and Larrabee.
Is that it? Is there anyone else who can face me?
I'm still standing here, you little twerp!
Sir, I wouldn't do that. What's that sound?
Connor looks up to the top of the ridge.
Hey, it's Jackie!
A helmeted figure in a tight-fitting suit looks down at them. Jack raises the visor.
Actually, it's Zoom.
Suit looks good.
Nice suit, lizard boy!
Connor sends a blast of power to Zoom.
Let's play ball.
Zoom whizzes off, the team disperse. It all comes down to this. Cindy crosses to a high television mast and uproots it from the ground. She adopts a batting position. Connor runs up.
Zoom!
Hey!
Dylan sucks him in the jaw.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Connor! You kind of suck at this, don't you, dude?
Using her mind, Summer pelts Connor with rocks. He tries to fend them off. Cindy waggles the huge mast as if it were a feather. Zoom races round in a circle like a blue streak, creating a vortex. Tucker taps Connor on the shoulder.
Hi.
His belly swells up and sends Connor hurtling backwards straight onto Cindy's giant baseball bat. He spirals off past the vortex.
No, she's gonna miss!
Marsha blows and pushes Connor back towards the vortex.
Yes!
He lands in the center of it. Grant shouts out.
So, we have a chance to save him! You must close the vortex!
Must save Connor!
Connor punches a balloon of power. The vortex whirls round him. He tries again. Flames mingle with the vortex. He releases more firepower. Flames and smoke rise above him. He looks up into the swirling fog and the hole in the center of the vortex. The vortex explodes. Zoom speeds in.
Connor!
Connor, in his red concussion suit, is lying face down on the ground. His red eyes snap open and start to turn blue. He scrambles to his feet. Jack walks over to him, raises his visor, and the helmet falls away.
The vortex worked this time. Maybe you can use your powers for good.
Sorry, Jack.
Give your little brother a hug. Come on.
Jack embraces Connor.
Yeah. I got my brother back.
We did it!
Now that's what I call teamwork.
This is Connor. This is Dylan. Come on.
Welcome to the family, brother.
Hi.
This is Marcia.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Hi, what's your name?
Cindy.
Hey.
Summer.
How are you?
I'm Tucker. How's it going, Tucker?
They stand in the center of a many-pointed starburst.
Somebody's gonna have to drive on the way back. We got the FB.
Can I drive?
Can she drive?
Yeah, she can drive.
We got the FB-12 running again. Remember the old saucer from back then?
Oh, yeah. Where is it? Out there? Oh, yeah.
Hold it! Zoom!
Zoom zooms up to Larrabee.
What?
What are you gonna do now?
You know us heroes. We always do the right thing. Come on, Grant, we got work to do.
The Zenith program logo flies in and out. 3 months later, in a school play.
Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair.
It's Princess Rapunzel.
Whatever.
Princess Cindy drops a long skein of hair from her tower. Her suitor is having difficulty climbing up. She leans out and pulls him.
Whoa. My prince.
Cindy kisses her beau, who blushes. The young actors wave to their audience.
That's my princess.
Cindy's mum and dad smile proudly. On the football field, a player in red skillfully dribbles his way towards goal. Tucker in blue is the goalie. The player shoots, but Tucker catches the ball in his giant mitt. The red team gape. Tucker saves a second strike with his giant football boot. A third attempt and his right mitt saves the day. At the end of the match, the jubilant blue team hoist Tucker onto their shoulders. Summer goes through her routine as one of five school cheerleaders in her red and white dress. She's in the center of a pyramid, holding up a girl on each hand, who in turn is balancing another girl on her hand. One of the girls makes a face as a red rose appears to be walking on air towards Summer. Dylan appears. The other girls stay suspended as she and Dylan kiss. The superheroes' mobiles all go off. They meet up on a grassy hill, all dressed in their superhero whites. And all four of them put their white-gloved right hands together, with one dark glove on top, belonging to Zoom in full helmet and bodysuit. They look up into the sky as the spacecraft hovers towards them. The hillside is empty as the craft whizzes off, back to the comic book.
And so, Zoom was reunited with his brother. And a new Zenith team. But they were more than a team. They were a family.
Team Zenith!
The spacecraft bursts through space. The end. This audio description was read by Jane Copeland, written and produced by Veronica Hicks at IMS. Unit production manager Neil Macklis and Joseph Botchier. Now a few outtakes.
Margaret? I'll try one time bigger.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. I got it. I'm quicker than you think.
Those two, we're funnier on TV. Maybe it's the screen size. If it went like this.
We like to poo in our pants. We like to.
That's
poo
not in the script.
In our pants. Look, dude, I don't know.
No, I want to do it just like that.
These have a sensitive condition?
Who knows? You're the one that's supposed to say this stuff.
You're the one on camera. Who cares about me? Shut up. I'll do it. These children have a... Sorry.
Who would want these little lunatics to be like me? Now I've forgotten exactly what to say because I was so in love with Courtney for just a moment.
Here's Matt LeBlanc.
Everybody,
we like to poo in our pants. We like to poo in our pants.
Casting by John Papsideris, ESA. Co-producer Julie Ragland. Costume designer Hank Guyon. Visual effects supervisor Marco Forker. Songs by Smash Mouth. Music supervision by John Houlihan. Music by Christoph Beck. Editor Lawrence Jordan. Production designer Barry Tusey. Director of Photography David Tattersall, BSc. Executive producers Nicholas Osborne, Trevor Engelson, Neil Macklis. Produced by Susanna Todd, Jennifer Todd, Todd Garner. Based upon the book Zoom's Academy by Jason Lefko. Screen story by Adam Rifkin. Screenplay by Adam Rifkin and David Berenbaum. Directed by Peter Hewitt. First assistant directors Jeff Authers and Matt Rebenkoff. Second assistant directors Eric Patekin and Courtney Miles. The cast, Jack Shepard, Captain Zoom, is played by Tim Allen. Marsha Holloway, Courtney Cox. Dr. Grant, Chevy Chase. Tucker Williams, Mega Boy, Spencer Breslin. Connor Shepard, Concussion, Kevin Zegers. Summer Jones, Wonder, Kate Mara. Dylan West, Houdini, Michael Cassidy. Cindy Collins, Princess, Ryan Newman. Larrabee, Rip Torn. Cindy's Mum, Cornelia Guest. Halloween Bully, Ashton Moyo. Prince, Hunter Onyekoski. Dylan's Teacher, Tom Wilson. Mean Bully, Rich Canuck. Mina Bully, Danny McCarthy. Mucus Boy, Jason Bailey. Pitbull Kid, Jesse Ben Davis. Jupiter the Gas Giant, Rashad Richards. Speed Blinker, Chantal Cole. Caliente, Stephen Torres. My Frio, Austin Torres. Wendy's Employee, David L. Lander. Reporter, Lauren Sanchez. Dick, Willie Garson. Halloween Mom, Eliana Weiss. Isolation Guard, Michael Anthony. Guard in Lecture Hall, John Watson. Researcher, Taylor, Jane Hadjock. Researcher, Adam Bocknet. Gamma Room Technician, Daryl Flatman. Martial Arts Instructor, Tommy Chang. Researcher, Zoe Mugford. Guy at Party, John V. DeMarco. Scientists, Lenta Matuska, David Farrant. Large Agent, Tim Lasiopoulos. Cheerleaders, Meg Anderson, Deanna Delisle, Kendra Rose Montagna, Trisha Murray. Second Unit Director, Stunt Coordinator, James Arnett. Stunt Coordinator, Matt Berman. Music, So Insane, written by Greg Camp, produced by Eric Valentine. Hang On, written by Greg Camp, Paul Delisle, and Steve Harwell. Everyday Superhero, written by Steve Harwell, Matthew Gerrard, and Robbie Neville. Come On, Come On, written by Greg Camp and Steve Harwell. All performed by Smash Mouth. Punk Rock 101, written by Butch Walker and Jarrett Reddick, performed by Bowling for Soup. The World is New, written by Brian Mashburn, performed by Sae Ferris. Under Pressure, written by David Bowie, Freddie Mercury, Roger Taylor, John Deacon and Brian May, produced by Greg Camp, performed by Smash Mouth. Big Ups, written by Trinity Baguandas, Andrew Bajanich and Elizabeth Hooper, performed by Miss Trinity. Hero, written by Enrique Iglesias, Paul Barry and Mark Taylor, performed by Enrique Iglesias. It's On, written by Max Sue, Matt Daly, Dave Gazarian, Melissa Brock, Trisha Brock, Brandon Estelle and Andy Simon, performed by Superchick. Days Like These, written by Steve Harwell, Matthew Gerrard and Robbie Neville, performed by Smash Mouth. Copyright Revolution Studios Distribution Company, LLC, the author of this film for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Special thanks to City of Toronto Film Office, Ontario Media Development Corporation, Ontario, Canada. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Columbia Pictures, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Rating PG.